Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you have your Bible, open it up, please, to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to begin our study there. Thank you so much for being here this morning. May God bless each and every one of you. I appreciate this opportunity to be able to have another opportunity to preach the Word of God. And I'm encouraged with this series, and I hope and pray that you will be as well. Well, the book of Nehemiah is one of my favorite books. And the man Nehemiah is one of my favorite individuals to read about and to study in God's Word. And I believe this study will encourage all of us to arise and build. That's the name of this theme. The study that we're going to look at this morning and the rest of the week will remind us about our God in heaven and who we are supposed to be as the people of God and the work that we're supposed to be involved in as well. As you read Nehemiah, you'll see God working providentially through men like Nehemiah and King Artaxerxes and others. And it's a book that will remind us of what can be accomplished when we work together as the people of God. It's a reminder of what leaders are supposed to be and the value of leaders who are following and trusting God. The book of Nehemiah and this study will also remind us of what happens when God's people become apathetic, afraid, and sometimes even spiritually absent. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 18, our theme comes from these verses here. In verse number 18, this is Nehemiah speaking to the people. He's already arrived in Jerusalem. The Bible says, I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. Why did Nehemiah say these words? And why did the people respond in this manner? I want us to consider this story as we begin this series of lessons of the man Nehemiah and the problem and what we're going to find out as we go through this book. And this will certainly help us to have an arise and build mentality. It will remind us that the God of heaven will continue to give us success as well in our faith, in our families, and in our work in the kingdom of God. So let's begin by introducing the man. We know that this is Nehemiah. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse number 1, in Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, I believe this would be around 445 to 444 BC, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital. So Nehemiah is in Persia, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. So Nehemiah's in Persia. He's going to hear some news. We get some additional details about him at the very end of the chapter, in verse number 11. We know that he was the cupbearer to the king, and we know in chapter 2 and verse number 1 that it's the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that he's going to go before the king. And so we get some additional details about who Nehemiah was, and we see very quickly the kind of character that Nehemiah had. Number one, he was a man of great compassion. He cared for his people. If you go back to chapter 1, after he hears about this bad news of what has happened in Jerusalem, how the gates are burned with fire, the wall is broken down. In verse number 4, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He had compassion for his people, number one. We also know that he was a man of great faith. What does he immediately begin to do? He stops everything and he begins to pray and to fast and to mourn. His prayer in verses 5 through 11, which we'll look at more in the second hour here, also shows us the kind of person that he was. He knew God. He had a relationship with God. And he was able to acknowledge the sins of his people and even his own sins. When we get into chapter 2, we're going to see, and really throughout the entire book, that Nehemiah was a man of action. He was a man that lived an intentional life. And he took great action. It's a great example for us to follow. As he trusted in God, so must we. Number 2, we're going to see in Nehemiah chapter 1, the problem. We've already looked at it a little bit, but go back to verses 3 and 4. Nehemiah receives news that the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity, God's people had returned under King Cyrus, so they had returned back to Jerusalem after the 70 years of captivity. Who survived the captivity, they're in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. In the book of Ezra, we see that God's people would begin to rebuild the temple. And they would get the foundation laid, but there would be frustrations that they would face and discouragement. Then prophets like Haggai and Zechariah would come to encourage the people and they would complete the temple. But there were still things that were left undone. And so now Nehemiah sees or hears about this problem. The wall is not yet finished. It remains in rubbles. In a city without a wall, well, that's not a great situation to have at all. We know that the temple was rebuilt in Ezra 6 and verse number 15, but we have to get the wall rebuilt around the city. What we're going to see in our study, brothers and sisters, is that by the time Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem and gets the people on board to work, the wall is going to be rebuilt in 52 days, which is really amazing because it had been in rubbles for decades. And yet when Nehemiah, with the help of God, when he's there, things are going to change. I think there's some great application for us already. How often have we passed by a problem in our life, in our lives? The people are going to be looking at this every day for decades. The wall is not yet rebuilt. And it's not until Nehemiah eventually gets there that the wall eventually is going to be rebuilt. And sometimes our lives can be like that. As we think about this idea of a rise and build, how often do we pass by problems in our marriages every day and really don't do too much about them? Or maybe it's not mending a relationship that we know needs to be fixed. Or maybe it could just be that we don't want to be involved in the work. We'd rather just leave things as they are. When Nehemiah hears about this problem, Nehemiah is going to be the man to help the people of God. He's praying fervently in chapter 1 about this problem. He's going to act. He's going to fill in the gap. And he's going to help his people. That is the mindset that all of us need to have. It can be very easy to say, I'm going to let someone else take over that. I'm going to let someone else make the first move. No, Nehemiah, as he hears the news, he begins to go to God in prayer. And he's going to have an opportunity in chapter 2. In chapter 2, in verse number 1, it came about in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him, the king. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Then I was very much afraid. You don't go before the king with that kind of demeanor, with that kind of situation, that kind of emotion. And that's why Nehemiah was afraid. And I want you to see here in verse number 3, I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire? This is something personal for Nehemiah. I think that's something good for us to think about. When we see a problem, that we shouldn't just like quickly gloss over it or say, well, that's somebody else's problem. No, this was a problem for him. And he wasn't even in Jerusalem. This was something that meant a lot to him. And so what he's going to do, he gets an opportunity. There's a request that's going to be made that Nehemiah makes, and we see again the kind of man and faith that he has. In verse 4, the king said to me, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Already we see another example of Nehemiah praying. I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. I want to go there. I want to be involved in the work. There's a problem, and now this is my request. I want to help the people of God. Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. We get more details about this definite time in chapter 13 and verse number 6. He's going to be there for a long time, helping the people of God. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And watch this. The king granted them to me, because the good hand of my God was on me. Nehemiah was not puffed up with pride. Nehemiah was not, this is all my doing or my work. He gives glory to the God of heaven. That is how we will always be successful. It is not our strength. It is not our wisdom. It is not our power. It is always about God and what he is able to do. And that's what we see. Nehemiah is going to make this request, and his prayer is going to be answered. He's now going to have a moment to travel, I believe, around 600 miles to get to Jerusalem. So the wall hasn't even started yet. Months have gone by where he's praying to God. A door of opportunity is now opened. God has opened up that door. Nehemiah is going to walk through the door. And then he's going to make his way to the city. In verse 11, then I came to the governors of the provinces beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king has sent me with officers of the army and horsemen. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about it, it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. These men are going to show up throughout the story. They're going to seek to discourage the people of God. They are going to discourage the people of God. But Nehemiah, with the other men and women, they're going to arise and build despite the discouragement. Anything worth building, there will be obstacles in the way. That includes our faith. That includes our marriages, the local church. But we have to continue to cling to God. And that's what Nehemiah is going to show us. And so in verse number 11, I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Now, a lot of time has passed between those verses. And so what we see next is that now Nehemiah, he's going to take a look. He's going to examine the problem. He's heard about the problem, but before he does anything, before he talks to the people, he's got to see what exactly is happening. He came to Jerusalem and he was there 3 days. And I arose in the night and I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. He continues to go back to God. This is where his success is going to come from, and he understands it. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well and onto the refuse gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. Verse 14. Then I passed on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. I love this because he's got to get all the information before he does anything, before he even talks to anybody. And again, he's very intentional in what he's doing. He's spending 3 days or 3 nights to do all of this. But eventually, after his examination, he is going to talk to the people. And notice what he says in verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in. A mark of a good leader is one who will be straightforward and honest. We're in a bad situation. It could be that some of us are in a bad situation with our walk with God. Maybe we've grown a little apathetic. Maybe our marriages are in a bad situation. Maybe our children are in a bad situation. And sometimes even relationships in a local congregation can get to a bad situation. What we don't do is sweep things under the rug. What we don't do is ignore the problem that's right in front of our faces. But what we do, we trust in God. And we remind one another about the true and living God. And we take action and we acknowledge there is a problem. That's one of the hardest things to do, to acknowledge that sometimes there may be a problem. I actually may be the problem. You may be the problem. Or it could be that the problem is a we thing. For the people there, we have a problem. You've seen this for decades. We all are going to have to look in the mirrors if we're going to arise and build. Is there something in your life you need to arise and build? It does require honesty. And that's what Nehemiah did. But he didn't just focus on the bad news. He didn't stay stuck on the bad news with the problem, because he also gives them the solution. He reminds them who is with them. He says in verse 17, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." He encourages the people, and all of God's people need encouragement. We all need to be encouraged, and we all need to be reminded that we need to work together, that there's something bigger for all of us that we're a part of. And we want to do things that give God glory and honor and praise. We can build. Let us rebuild together. Look at verse 18 again. I know we read these verses. "I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me." He rehearsed what God had already done. Months ago, they needed to be reminded about God and his power, and so do we. And also about the king's words which he had spoken to them. Notice now the response. "Then they said, let us arise and build." There's synergy. There's buy-in. Now they're going to work together. So they put their hands to the good work. Brothers and sisters, we have good work to do. You have good work to do in this community. And we have good work to do in this local congregation. We have good work to do in our families. There is good work for us to do. We must have an arise and build mentality. All of us can become discouraged. Elders can become discouraged. Deacons, preachers, members, all of us can become discouraged. The devil wants to discourage us with fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That's exactly what we're going to see with some of these men like Sanballat and these other individuals. They're going to try to discourage the people of God. And maybe you're facing some discouragement at this very moment. Arise and build. Know the good hand of God is with you and is with us. In chapter 3, what we see is a chapter of building, of the Jews working together. We certainly don't have time to read all of this, but I do want you to notice in chapter 3 and verse number 2, this theme that's all found throughout the chapter, this next to him in verse number 2. Next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zachar the son of Imri built. In verse 4, next to them. In verse 5, moreover, next to him. In verse 7, next to them. In verse 8, next to him. Verse 9, next to them. Over and over throughout the chapter, God's people are working together. That's the kind of mentality if we're going to be successful in every area of our spiritual walk with God. We need one another, and we need to work together. And they got to work. They got to work really fast. And you know what happens when you begin to build something for God and for his people? Discouragement's going to come. In chapter 4, they're working and great progress is being made. And now in chapter 4, in verse number 1, it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish it in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him, and he said, "Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down," ridiculing God's people and their work. What does Nehemiah do? "Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before you. For they have demoralized the builders." Their plan was actually working. But again, Nehemiah, a great leader, you know what he did? He prayed. That's the theme that we're going to see over and over again. God's people are going to have to fight. Brothers and sisters, we're in a spiritual battle. We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to put on the full armor of God. And that's what we see here. They're fighting in Nehemiah chapter 4. They have swords in one hand, and they're working on the wall with the other hand. In verse 21, "So we carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared." Nehemiah has to pray over and over again, and he has to encourage the people in verse 16. "From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah." So he broke them up. They were that determined to get the wall finished. God frustrated the people's plans, their enemies' plans. Well, that's the same God that we serve. It will be hard sometimes to arise and build certain things in our lives. It will be challenging, but the fight is always worthwhile. So that's what they did. And as a result of that, the wall is going to be rebuilt in 52 days. When we get over to chapter 6, they have been working together. They're working zealously. No one was above the work. There were a few that were not next to them in chapter 3, but the majority of them did the work, and we'll see that in our lives even now. Not everyone is going to be on board with evangelism. Not everyone is willing to put in the work, but the majority of them did. And the majority of them had the mind to work. No kind of challenges, enemies, fear, fatigue, or even one another. There's going to be some infighting in chapter 5. Yet they would be able to persevere. The wall would be rebuilt. In chapter 6 and verse 15, "So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month Elul in 52 days. Decades passed, but now the wall is completed in 52 days. And their purpose certainly was bigger than just bricks. There were more changes that God's people would need. More things in their lives where they would need to arise and build. Sins to confess. How they treated one another. How they viewed one another. How they viewed God. There are many more things that needed to be rebuilt. The same is true for us. I want you to think about this. If we put ourselves on the clock here, April 6th, and we started today and we said, "For the next 52 days, I'm going to arise and build something in my life." What could be accomplished? Maybe we need to think more about that. Where do you need to arise and build in your life? Is it with your Bible knowledge? Or maybe just getting in the habit of reading your Bible? Is it in your service to God? Maybe your prayers have just stopped. Maybe you need to arise and build there. Maybe we just need more courage sometimes to speak out. Maybe we need to arise and build and forgive that brother and sister for what they said or how they looked at us or what they did decades ago. Maybe we're thinking about divorce. Well, we need to start over in our marriage. confess our sins and arise and build and remember the promise that we made and the covenant relationship that we're in. You see, so much can be done when we have a mind to work, a mind to pray, a mind to live self-controlled, a mind to forgive, and a mind to love, and a mind to trust God. Are you ready to arise and build? Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity this morning. Forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our apathy, and help us, Father, to arise and build, to increase our faith, to follow you even more closely. Help us in our relationships. Thank you for the example of Nehemiah. Thank you for your holy scriptures. And thank you, Father, for us knowing that indeed you are with us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.